Shalom, my brothers and my sisters. I am John, son of Zacharias, son of Elizabeth, the tribe of Levi, servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, a preacher of his holy word, preacher of God's righteousness and man's sinfulness. I'm also known as John the Baptist. Some people have found me to be a little strange. Just because I've lived most of my life in the desert alone, eating bugs. You find me strange, young man?
No.
Good. You find it strange that I eat locusts? Have you ever tried locusts? They're crunchy and juicy at the same time. Only problem is I get some of their little legs stuck between my teeth once in a while. Like I said, people even in my day thought I was a little odd. But remember the old saying, never judge a rolled up scroll. Do you know what that means? What? No. Let me put it in more modern terms for you. Don't judge a book by its cover. I may appear strange on the outside, but you try living in the desert alone. But you see, I was ordained by God with a very special mission, a message to bring to the people of Israel. Same message I would like to share with you all today. Like I said, people thought I was strange. But I was ordained, sent by God. Even the prophets spoke about me. Isaiah wrote this, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God." I am that one who came crying in the wilderness. Even before I was born, the angel Gabriel came to my father Zacharias as he burned incense in the temple. What he said is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 15. "For he will be great," talking about me, "he will be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I was called to reach the children of Israel in a very dark time, a time full of religious hypocrisy and apathy towards God and his ways. But I came preaching boldly. I came preaching in the power of God's Holy Spirit. I had a message that people, all people, needed to repent of their sins and be ready to receive their Savior. For many, my appearance did not matter. They accepted my message with joy in their hearts, and they prepared themselves in a state of repentance to receive their Savior. But for many others, my appearance was too much. I did not fit their mold of a man of God. Wasn't wearing a $1,000 suit. perfect hair, straight white teeth. Now my teeth have bug legs in them. I wear old hides of a camel. But thank goodness, God does not judge man on the outside. Judges the heart. But many people rejected my message, especially the religious types. Their pride, their self-righteousness blinded them to their own sinful condition. Their temple attendance made it to them that they were okay with God. They had no sin. They did not need to repent or believe my message. It was a dark time. John, the apostle, wrote about this in John chapter 1, which I'd like to read to you today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Think about that statement. How dark was men's hearts that God in the flesh would not be recognized. Verse 6 of that same chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That would be me. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. All can come to Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And there it is, the birth of Jesus Christ, God becoming a man, becoming a human being in the form of a little baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. The hope of the world. The hope of what you now celebrate as Christmas Day. It seems to me that you guys are not much different than me. When you think about it, I was called and empowered by the Holy Spirit to testify to the world of Jesus Christ. You as the church, as Christians, have also been called to testify to the world. You've also been empowered by the same Holy Spirit that empowered me in my ministry. We are brothers, we are sisters. And the same Holy Spirit that you have that enables you to be bold in Christ, to stand up in a dark world and proclaim the truth, especially during this season of hope, during this Christmas holiday. You know, I have heard that there is a war on Christmas. Is that true? What is that? What is this war on Christmas? Leave Christ out of it? You sure it's not about coffee cups? You see, I know that there's this war on Christmas, but let me be very, very, very clear. There is no war on Christmas Day. There is no war on the Christmas holiday. There's only a war against the Christ of that day. It's not about coffee cups or manger scenes. It's about trying to reject the reality of Jesus Christ. Today I want to encourage you as my brothers and sisters in Christ this Christmas season to stand boldly for the truth. Not in a harsh, mean, in a way where you're attacking non-believers. No, no. But I want you to be bold in what Christmas means. I got some historical facts here I want to show you. Historical fact number one, Jesus Christ was born, did exist as the man Christ. I knew him. I baptized him. I heard him speak. Jesus Christ was born. Historical fact number two, Christmas Day, a tradition started by Christians, celebrates the birth of Christ. And I know with this war on Christmas, trying to take Christ out of Christmas, there have been people who said, no, Christmas is a pagan holiday that Christians took and redefined and redid. That could not be farther from the truth. I do not have time this morning to go into all the evidence that Christians started this day to celebrate Christ. But your pastor, Pastor Heath, good-looking guy, I know he holds a study on Thursday nights called The Gathering. It's a good question for The Gathering. Did Christians really create Christmas just to celebrate Christ? Historical fact number three, the truth of Christmas is found and established in the God-ordained prophecies of Christ. Since Christmas is about Christ, we can hold to the authority of God's word when it comes to him. First one I want to show you is God ordained the birth. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and all the way through the Old Testament. Prophecy after prophecy of God and his plan that he had before he even created the world, since he knows all things. Christ was ordained to be born, to come into this world, into his own creation, to connect with us, to experience life as a baby, a child, teenager, young adult, and adult. To experience every pain, every heartache that we experience, so he could connect with us and we can connect with him. God ordained the birth. Next, God ordained the place of the birth. Book of Micah, chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. He ordained the very place the Christ child would be born. The next one, God ordained the time of the birth. Daniel chapter 9. Know therefore and understand that from going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, There should be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now again, I don't have time to go in and explain the timeline here in the book of Daniel. Again, your good-looking young pastor can share with you on gathering Thursday night about this. But God ordained the very day that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem. And for that day to be ordained, the birth was ordained to make sure that the Messiah was there that day to ride into Jerusalem. The next one, God ordained the miracle of the birth. Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you should call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now I know again this war on Christ, they call it a war on Christmas, but it's a war on Christ. They try to take the miracle of God here and say that the word here for virgin does not mean virgin, just young lady. But let me be very clear. From an Old Testament prophet, it means virgin. Because the sins are passed on by the Father, and Christ was going to be sinless. Mary was an honorable young lady, the virgin who gave birth to the Lord and Savior. Finally, God ordained the child of the birth. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And again, with this war on Christ, there are those who say he never claimed to be God. They would be wrong multiple times. But here even the Old Testament says this child would be born in Bethlehem to a virgin, was going to be a son, and his name, besides being the Christ and Jesus and Emmanuel, he would be Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. God in the flesh. God leaving his place on high, humbling himself, becoming a man. There are many other prophecies of Christ. This is just a few. Your time is just like the time I lived. People wanting to create their own beliefs, believe whatever they want, whatever makes them feel good. There's a lot of religious hypocrisy in the church today. A lot of religious people who deny the Holy Spirit, who deny the reality of Christ. Today you have a group of people and they call themselves atheists. People who say there is no God. Well, the Bible says, and this is God, so don't get offended. God says in his word, whoever says there is no God is a fool. Because God has left the evidence of himself all around us and even inside of you. I saw a picture that an atheist put up about the true meaning of Christmas. There it is. According to these godless people, the true meaning of Christmas, the Christian holiday orchestrated and organized by Christians to celebrate Christ, the hope of humankind, they have taken that holiday and said, no, it's not about Christ any longer. It's about charity, family, friends, and food, even Chinese food, and rockets, and ice skating. I see they don't have any locusts up there. I always invite people home for dinner, but no one's ever taken me up on the offer. Maybe if I serve Chinese food. They say this is the true meaning of Christmas. I don't see any Christ up there. I heard another atheist say this: Christmas is better without Christ. So let's take Christ out of the word Christmas. What are you left with? Mass. Christmas is better without Christ. I would love to talk to this young man or woman, whoever it may be. But that's not going to be plausible this morning. So today I want us to look at this statement: Christmas is better without Christ. You see, taking Christ out, they think they change Christmas, but oh, they do so much more than that. Christmas without Christ not only changes the holiday, it changes your entire life. Your entire life is changed. The hope is gone. I want to take the one word from their sign called the word family. Most people will agree the holidays are about family. I want to see if we take Christ out of Christmas, meaning he was never literally born to be who he was. The prophecies are not true. What that does to the holiday and the ramification it has on the rest of your life. So let's see what we want to give our families if we take Christ out of the picture. If you don't have Christmas, don't have Christ in Christmas, you're not left with a holiday. There's only one other holiday during this period of time you can claim and celebrate. That's called the winter solstice. A pagan ritual celebration. Not based on truth. No evidence for the things they believe. It's just a bunch of superstition. Druids and pagans and Wiccans, they celebrate the winter solstice. Most of it is celebrating Mother Earth and nature. But when it comes down to it, you study all the beliefs of the winter solstice, it's superstition with no evidence to support the claims. So when you take Christ out of Christmas, you're left with winter solstice. And what do you do? What is the main focus of the holiday without Christ? Well, it's giving and receiving gifts, is it not? It's all about finding the best or receiving the best and the most. Complete drive for materialism. It's all about the things you get and have. That's what life is all about, right? Materialism. I find it interesting that this great country of yours thanks God on Thursday for the things that he has provided, but most people don't thank God. They just say they're thankful. But you have to be thankful to something. And the Bible tells us everything good that we have comes from above. If you spend your day being thankful, but you don't thank the source of those good things, your thankfulness is worthless. You can be thankful all day long, but if you don't thank the Lord, your thankfulness is worthless. And it's amazing here in this country, you spend a whole day of Thanksgiving. Go back one. You can spend the whole day thanking for the things you have. And then the very next day, you beat up your neighbor for more things at the mall. How many fights broke out in the malls Friday. I even saw some people getting arrested. What is that about? It's materialism. It's ugly. And many people find worth in themselves by the things they possess. But let me tell you something. From a man who possesses literally nothing, your worth is not found in the things you have, as in material belongings. It's found in having the Christ child within you. So we have materialism. The next thing when you take Christ out of Christmas, the next thing is eating and making merry. It's all about feeling good. Many people use it as an excuse to get drunk, to eat more, indulge more than their actual stomach can handle. You got to make yourself feel good on this day. At least make the body feel good. What do we call that? It's called self-indulgence. It's all about you. Your focus is on pleasing yourself. And when you have an attitude that there is no God, there is no Christ, the world is about you, what you want, then you don't mind doing whatever you have to do to make yourself happy. When you take Christ out of Christmas, you are left with the winter solstice, giving and receiving gifts, eating and making merry, and no divine origin. We call that secularism, where man is the ultimate being, where man starts to believe he is a god himself. And all life is about him. No God. No authority. No truth. You see, if there's no God to establish what is right and what is wrong, it's up to each individual person to come up with it on their own. And with secularism, truth is relative. Truth changes over time. So will the truth that you're holding on to right now, if there is no God, there is no Christ, those truths may not be true a year from now. Imagine that. Some of the strongest held beliefs you may have, if there is no Christ, how do you know what you believe is true and going to remain true? Where is the security in your life? Where is the promises of life? You can't trust anything, not even truth anymore. You have to put your faith in your fellow human beings. I haven't been here very long, but I've watched your news. And around the world, all the terrible things mankind does to each other. Who do you put your faith in? Do you really have a hope that mankind will finally get it and wake up and love their neighbor as theirself? Do you think mankind will put down their weapons of destruction? Do you think criminals will stop trying to commit crime on you? Secularism. No God, just man. How does the future look with that aspect? There you go. When you take Christ out of Christmas, you remove the hope, the joy, the peace, the promises of the Christ, the promise of redemption, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of salvation. You see, taking Christ out of Christmas does not just change the holiday, it changes life. your hope of an eternal life is over. Because Christ was not who he said he was. He was not what the prophecies had said. But you see, I have the Word of God. I have more evidence for what I believe, strong physical evidence in this world of the existence of God, of the truth of his Word, and the truth of his Christ. It doesn't matter what man tries to do. It does not change the truth. Because God is in control. And just as I came preaching to my people to get ready for the Messiah, you have an obligation to testify, to preach of the return of that Messiah. Warn people to repent. So where they want to remove Christ and they're left with superstition, materialism, self-indulgence, and secularism, I want you to give them something new to think about, something new and real and true, and why Christ remains in Christmas for us. Where they have superstition, I will keep Christ in Christmas. And because I do that, superstition is destroyed by salvation. Acts chapter 4, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the man in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Christ stays in Christmas. Salvation is open to all who repent of their sins and call on his name. They can have their superstition. I'll take salvation. Where they have materialism and fighting each other at the mall for a big screen TV, the pursuit of trying to gain self-worth, where they have this materialistic attitude, I'll give that up and keep Christ in Christmas and receive a heavenly inheritance. 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I don't care how rich people get on this planet in material possessions. I don't care if there's billionaires. When you put your faith in Christ, you turn from your sins and call on him, and in his name, in his death, burial, and resurrection, you call on him and you are born again in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes you, the Bible says, a co-heir of the kingdom of God. The God that created all things. The God that controls and owns all things. That's an inheritance you can be proud of. You can be excited about. The billionaires have nothing on my Heavenly Father. They can have the materialism. I'll have the heavenly inheritance. And where they have self-indulgence, where you always seek to please yourself, and you can walk over people to do it, hurt people to make sure you're satisfied, and where you're miserable in the end because nothing in this world will completely satisfy, where they have this self-indulgence, I'll keep Christ in Christmas and I'll have a spirit-filled life. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Everyone in this world is seeking to be happy. Even this country has a motto, the pursuit of happiness. But happiness is dependent on your circumstances. And in life, your circumstances are not always that great. But see, there's something better than happiness. There's joy. And joy doesn't need the circumstances to be good, because joy comes from within. And the Lord God puts joy in your heart. You can find peace when there's no peace around you. You can find love. You can love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you can love your neighbor as yourself when you keep Christ in Christmas. And where they have, go ahead, where they have the secularism, no God, just man. Where they have their place as their own gods, where there is no security, there's no hope because there's no truth. In their secular society, it's a dog-eat-dog world, evolution, survival of the fittest. There's no security, there's no hope. Because man is by himself. Where they have secularism when they take Christ out of Christmas, I'll keep Christ in Christmas and I'll have the security of God's love. Romans 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, when you keep Christ and you honor Christ for who he is, you receive salvation, a heavenly inheritance, a spirit-filled life, and the security that God will always, always love you. So let's compare the two side by side. Which one would you rather have? When they say Christmas is better without Christ, they don't know, they don't even have a clue of how they're destroying themselves. What they are rejecting, what they are missing out on. They want superstition, materialism, self-indulgence, and secular society. And they're missing out on the grace of God. So when you take Christ out of Christmas, you not only change the holiday, you change the hope of your very life. It is important to remember the Christ at this time of the year. The Christ who came, who was born to be the Lamb of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John, that would be me, saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, when you remove Christ, your sin can no longer be removed. Christ is our only hope. Without him, there is no hope. I will hold on to Christ at Christmas, no matter what the world says or does. I like what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Titus, chapter 2. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Redeem. Redemption. Taking what is sinful and making us into the righteousness of God. Not by our own works, but by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lamb of God, without sin, without spot. That's what Christmas is all about. The Christ child being born in a manger in Bethlehem to live a perfect life, to eventually take that life to the cross of Calvary and die in our place so that we could receive the greatest gift any person can receive, eternal life with God through Jesus Christ. The Christ child is the greatest Christmas present the world has ever known. My voice was heard by my people. It says there in that last part of the verse, a special people, zealous for good works. There's no greater good work you could do than tell people of the Christ child. Explain to them the meaning of this season. Explain to them the hope that you can have in Christ. Not just for the day, not just for the Christmas season, but for your entire life. We should be zealous as his children because he loved us first. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. We should have a love inside to let other people know. Like I said, my voice was heard by my people. I sounded boldly and loud. And not even a king could stop my mouth. King Herod tried, but he couldn't do it. Not until my work was done. My people heard my voice. Some responded, some rejected. But all had the chance to hear. My question for you this day, this Christmas season, as I declared to the people of my day, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think in your generation, that's a true statement as well. Signs of the times, the return of our Savior. Will your people of your day hear your voice? Will you testify of the Christ child? Will you tell people to prepare a path straight to receive Jesus Christ? The torch has been passed on to you. It's the season to share. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your people here. I thank you for the hearts they have to hear your word, to share you with a very dark and dying world. Lord, this message is not going to be well received by the world. People of my day did not want to repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed. Lord, help us as your children to stand with boldness on the truth of the Christ child, to share the hope of Christmas and what it's all about. Not in ugly ways, not in unloving ways, not as an argument. Let our life and our actions reflect the words we speak. Let us tell of your great love and goodness. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the Christ child born, for the life you lived and the life you gave up for us. And we also thank you for taking that life back up and defeating death and sin, because you are God. And because you did that, we have security. We have hope. We have the promise of eternal life. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.